Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. It's 7:40 on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are the Morning Shift. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Beau Morgan. Dylan is hanging out behind the glass. This segment is presented by John Foy and Associates. Experienced personal injury attorneys get the strong arm. We do have Mic'd Up coming up in a little bit. Switch One Wednesday.
Best segment of the day.
And I told you earlier, Mike, I have such a dumb question.
Okay.
Such a dumb question in Which One Wednesday.
Nothing better than dumb Which One Wednesday question.
I literally had to put a disclaimer on it so nobody thinks I'm being serious.
Okay.
So we'll get to that in a moment.
Now I'm curious. A disclaimer question. Yeah.
I wrote it and I was like, oh my gosh, people are going to think I'm serious on this. No. Okay. Anyway, earlier we talked about the good, the bad, and the ugly from Monday Night Football. We'll tweet that segment out later so that you can hear it. See if you agree. But yesterday, Raheem Morris spoke with the media. And Mike, earlier you were talking about his comments on special teams. Let's go ahead and hear a clip from that.
Pretty low trajectory on that kick. Particularly, Russo made a great play. There's no doubt about it. They got a little pressure right there, but pretty much it was low. But overall, last night, I was really pleased with how the special teams played last night, particularly in our coverage units, bringing us that operational piece of the kick, the snap, and all those type of things that's happening with us. And like those things went well last night, other than that one play that you just mentioned.
Interesting.
I think that he's not wrong that the coverage unit was really good. How about Jalen Walker getting down there?
Beautiful.
And, I mean, he lit Codrington up, the guy that was returning it. I know that there was some conversation, and I want to get your take real quick, Mike, about, oh, why do we have Watts and Walker and these guys covering kicks? I would tell you that you have to have some of these guys out there. You only have so many players. I have 47 players active on a game. I think 48, actually, now these days on an active game day roster. You got to have – there's going to be crossover, especially with defensive players because of the – you know, and receivers. You don't have a problem with Walker and Watson, these guys that are rookies covering kicks. I think it makes your special teams unit better.
Well, and let's just start from the basics here. If you're talking about covering – a kickoff coverage unit, right? You talked about the fact that 46 people, whatever it may be on game day, that are actually active, 47, whatever the number is, all right, you're going to – first of all, you're going to eliminate 9 of those guys when you talk about offensive linemen, right? Shout out to the big fellas. You're probably not going to cover kicks. You're probably going to eliminate most of your defensive tackles, interior defensive linemen, right? And then you're going to eliminate pretty much all your starters.
Quarterbacks.
Right. So you're going to eliminate more than half of that is just right out of the blocks, right? And if Jalen Walker is very athletic, very tough, and is not starting full-time on defense, he's going to be a prime candidate. It's just how it works, right? We know that he's a guy who can make plays in space. He can go down there and lay a good hit. He can, you know, he can cover things out, you know, like I said, in space. It's different than like a James Pierce. James Pierce is an edge rusher. Jalen Walker's a linebacker that can fly down and has a good 40 time. He's going to be like not only a candidate for it, he's going to be the prime candidate for it. And until he is a full-time, full-fledged starter – and not splitting reps on the defensive side of the ball, there's no reason, in my opinion, why he cannot be that guy.
And it was brought up a couple weeks ago when Watts went down on the kickoff against Washington and was slow getting up.
Sure.
Came back on. And I heard, oh, is he out there? That's stupid. Well, there's two worlds of thought. One, this isn't a college roster. How many people you have? You don't have 90 guys standing on the sideline,
right,
you know, standing there in a uniform, or 85, or how many you can dress out. The other thing is if you don't have some – starters on there, like, you know, a Watts or a Walker, or, you know, back and forth guys, you can't have a good special teams and have the fourth receiver and the fourth player at their position across the board.
Yeah.
Because other teams are doing what they have to do as well, which is play some starters.
Yeah. I don't think there's any doubt about it. I want to go back, Allie, to him talking about the field goal off the top, and he was like, mm-hmm. Yeah, low trajectory.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it was just low trajectory. I think it was low and hooked left. I think he shanked the kick. I went back and actually watched this morning to see if there was something wrong with the snap, with the hold. Didn't look like anything was wrong to me. And I think it was a great play by Rousseau. I'm not saying that he doesn't get there otherwise, but the ball hits him in like the armpit. It's not like we're talking about a stretched out fingertip, right? It's not like he's diving across the ball. This ball hits him in the armpit. It should never do that unless he's untouched. Right, if you're talking about an untouched defender coming through, sure. But the timing of it is, if you get an arm on him at all, and I believe he came through the C gap, if I'm not mistaken, right between the tackle, who would have been Elijah Wilkinson, and Matthew Bergeron, who's from the left tight end position. All right, there should be two hands in that gap. And there were, but he did a good job breaking through them. That ball was hooked, though. Like, that ball was never in a million years going to make it through the uprights.
Yeah, I don't know if it would or not, but he was definitely, he was definitely through the line.
Have you watched the TV back angle? I know that you were working, so you didn't get a chance to see it. I've watched
the angle from the kicker, yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
It makes me sick because I'm like, there's no way. We're talking about one of those shanks that he had a couple weeks ago where it's like in the 10th row over by the tunnel. Well, you know what I mean?
That's why it was my uglies, because like we're still like one of those a game, you know, one of those a game is we got to continue to clean that up. That's why it's my ugly, because I think that part of it is just, we are no longer in the Younghoe Koo prime or Matt Bryant when he was here era where we run a guy, the unit comes out there and they're like, I can hand Wes the Home Depot scoring summary
right
card before he kicks it. Right? I can't do that anymore because we have to wait. And so I'm going to go ahead and say that sometimes it takes a little bit. You know, Romo is in here and I think he's got a decent leg. I don't know if he's kicking it like that Cowboys kicker is, like 65 yards and you just go in there and automatic from 65 or whatever. But I think that sometimes it takes these guys to kind of grow into it and get that consistency down. Let's hope it gets there very quickly.
Am I fair though in asking like why? Why does it? Why should it take this guy long to grow into it? I don't know. Maybe my leash is just shorter than some people, but I'm looking at it going, dude.
Well,
it's a kicker position, man. We signed him off the street. Go out there and kick the football.
I wish it was that easy, but there's a reason why half the league is not sold on who their kicker is. I mean, Jake Moody kicked a game-winning field goal for Chicago Monday night. Do you know where Jake Moody started the season?
San Fran.
Yeah. So, I mean, so that, you know, Chicago got rid of their kicker, and they signed the guy that San Francisco got rid of, who signed a guy who was Eddie Pinheiro, who said he was too good to kick here. Like, so, I mean, Younghoe Koo is on the practice squad in New York. Like, it's a revolving door.
I'm not saying, let me rephrase the question. I'm not saying that, like, it's not hard to find a kicker or that their job's not hard. My thing is, like, is it a developmental position? Like, are we, why are we saying it takes a while? Like, to me, they're either good or they're bad.
I do believe
at the moment.
I do believe it's a developmental situation when the guy is on the street and he's got, like, And he's got his game experience, his two games in the NFL, which is what Parker Romo was. I don't think it's that way when it's somebody that's like been in a league for 12 years, right?
Or gone through training camp with said team or whatever.
Yeah. And I hate it. And I'm not trying to make excuses for him, because that's not what I'm trying to do. I just think that the reality is it's a lot like the quarterback these days. There's about 15 guys that can do it really good. And then there's everybody else. And when you get everybody else, it's luck of the draw.
Well, and obviously after Falcons games, emotions are flying, good or bad. You can get all your thoughts out when you join Sports Radio at 92.9 The Game after each Falcons game for the Falcons Flyover. That's your first chance to call in and react after every Falcons game. It's brought to you by Ticketmaster, the official ticket marketplace of the Atlanta Falcons. That's the Falcons Flyover immediately following every Falcons postgame this season on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Game.
And as a reminder, today's Which One Wednesday edition of Mic'd Up is brought to you by Buffalo's Cafe. Come wing it family style at one of Buffalo's cafes. 13 Atlanta locations. I love this segment. I love doing Which One Wednesday. My favorite thing.
I enjoy this quite a bit as well. And up first, we have the question you've had a moment to think about. So, Mike, I'm going to ask you first. Which play would you rather have made on Monday Night Football? Bijan's 81-yard touchdown or Drake's stretched out over the end zone touchdown like Bugs Bunny taunting Elmer Fudd?
The Gumby touchdown where his arm just Stretch Armstrong touchdown?
Yeah.
I think that I would have rather have Bijan just simply from the fact that I think that his speed was measured at like 20.8 miles an hour. Can't imagine moving that fast. I'm not sure what my top miles per hour is, but I know it's not even in the ballpark with that. And you know, Drake's was very, very cool and a heck of a play by him, but just the top overall speed from Bijan. I'm like, dude, I wonder what it feels like to move that fast with everybody watching you. I'd love to do that.
Yeah, I think that's a really cool point, but and I want to play devil's advocate because I think either one, I'd be like, I'm a badass.
Yeah. I agree.
The Drake one, I'll go with Drake one because not only did he make a phenomenal catch on a fastball, but he had the wherewithal mentally and he could insert his physical strength over another grown man to hold his body up and keep a 200-pound guy trying to tug him to the ground and hold the ball out and go, look at it, look at it, look at it, look at it, touchdown, touchdown. Oh, nope, can't have it. Boom. And then, I probably would have got a taunting penalty because I would have spiked the ball at the player I hung it out over and then stood over the guy who couldn't pull me down. Because I'm, you know, a blank hole sometimes.
All right. So here's the disclaimer. This is just for fun. I realize this is not going to happen. But which would you rather see as the next Braves manager? Kevin Costner or Jason Aldean? Mm. Bo, you start this one. They're both massive Braves fans.
Kevin Costner, a baseball man. He is a baseball man through and through. Jason Aldean is a fan. That's great. But Kevin Costner is a baseball purist. You know, he did a terrible movie in that Love of the Game or whatever, and it's just nothing but a rom-com with baseball interviews.
You don't like that movie?
No, it's garbage. But give me Kevin Costner, Field of Dreams, Bull Durham, Kevin Costner. That guy can to manage my baseball team any day of the week.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Kevin Costner as well. And I think that Aldean has some upside here, but I think you look at Kevin Costner, I can just picture him like, you know, in front of his 15-foot-wide fireplace, swirling around a glass of bourbon as he's making decisions on who's going to start game one of the playoffs. You know what I mean?
Like a scene in Yellowstone? Like,
yeah, well, you know, it could be that we go out there with Chris Sale, but I'm going to go with Schwellenbach.
Well, where's Rip at this point where he's like,
you know, he's the pitching coach. Rip's going, well, you just tell me which one you want me to get loose, and I'll just sit right here and wait on you.
So what happens when you cut a player? Is it going to take him to the train station? I mean, dear Lord. Like, Rip, take him to the train station.
All right, which guy would you seriously rather see manage the Braves, Walt Weiss or David Ross?
I'm going to go with David Ross. You know, you guys know the Cubs background for me. Obviously, he's a guy who I think he lives in Tallahassee at this point, but he's from Southern Georgia. I think Bainbridge. He's just a guy, and he went to Auburn. He's a guy that I think that has been around the Southeast, understands this job. Walt Weiss has been inside that dugout. I just, for some reason, whenever situations like this come up, I just want a fresh start. Mm-hmm. I just rip the Band-Aid off, complete overhaul in there, get a different voice, and kind of hit the ground running. I think David Ross got a bad hand in Chicago. We've kind of seen that with Craig Counsell and the way he's taken over the Cubs. It's kind of been the same output. So David Ross, to me, I think would be a nice steady hand at the top.
I love Walt Weiss, but it's David Ross just for the fact that they're both organizational guys in some ways. David Ross spent time here. I think he knows what they are. I think Walt Weiss would probably be next to him, honestly. Walt didn't get a great deal in Colorado either, I don't think. But I would rather have David Ross. Younger, he's 50. I think he's got more, you know, he's got more time left in it, and it'd just be nice to see somebody a little bit younger on it.
Which Falcon would you rather have active on Sunday, Storm Norton or Ray-Ray McCloud?
Oh, go ahead.
Storm Norton.
Yeah, no doubt.
I need tackle depth. I would rather have Storm in there than Jarrell, with all due respect. I think he knows what they're doing more and probably is better set up, better suited to play in it right now with Bergeron or with Lindstrom next to him, depending on where they move each other. It's nothing against Ray-Ray, step up.
Let's take Ray Ray out of the equation. Let me just focus on this one thing. If Michael Jarrell or Elijah Wilkinson were to get hurt starting this weekend, where are you at if Storm Norton's not in the fold? So now you're down to Jack Nelson, who was not very good during the preseason, and that is an absolute debacle.
And now you're moving Wilkinson probably to left.
Yep.
I think Wilkinson is
better suited to play left than Jack Nelson.
Yes. And I don't think it's about blindside or not. I think it's just
I agree.
Who's better at what.
Yeah.
One last quick one. You might have to think about it over the break. If you locked your keys in your car, which Falcon would you rather be nearby to help you break in? Drake London or Caleb McGarry? They're going to take two different tactics when it comes to your car. One's got good hands. One is blunt force.
I'm going to go with Drake London. And if we can just get the window rolled down just a smidge, that long arm that he used to stretch over the goal line, no matter where the key is located, he's going to be able to stretch that arm out far enough. I'm not sure that we won't go, you know, the other direction and do some irreparable damage to the car if Caleb McGarry's doing it.
Can I I know we're up against it, so I can't think of a better way to put it really than that. I'm afraid that Caleb might rip my door off.
Right. Exactly. Back the truck up and hook a hook onto your door handle.
Drake,
like, I got this.
Drake's a guy, too, that, like, if you want a teammate to come get your back, I'm not saying that Caleb wouldn't, but I know Drake will run to it.
Yeah.
And you're probably like,
soft-spoken.
Let's just call AAA.
Hey, man, just back out of the way. I got this thing.
Yeah. Well, coming up next, we've got the wake-up call, 404-726-0929. Mike and Bo went over their good, bad, and the ugly from Monday night's game. Give us your thoughts on that. The good, the bad, and the ugly from the Falcons-Bills game, 404-726-0929. That's next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.